don't.
It's for the but don't good don't.
I walked through a county courthouse square. On a park bench, an old man was sitting there.
All right, I think we're... So, I just randomly just found this one about 30 seconds ago, but I read through it, so it's pretty funny. I'm going to stop the music. Okay, so get this. All right, here we go. This was like the best Craigslist posting of all time, apparently, according to this website. I don't think it's as funny as the one that John Jay and Rich found, but this one's pretty hilarious. All right, listen to this. It's entitled, "Let Us Frolic in My Totally Dope Blanket Fort." All right, so the description is, "Yes, I know what you're saying. Dude, that blanket fort sucks. That would not be the first time I've heard such short-sighted criticism. Its structural integrity is dubious at best, and there isn't a whole lot of headroom." But come on, it's not like I'm a freaking architect or anything. Besides, this little baby is just a prototype. So what, he's planning on building like an entire building out of blankets?
I guess.
Okay, he goes on to say, "I have vast resources of cushions for anchorage and blankets in order to maximize square footage."
What is this guy on?
I don't know. "My living room is just waiting to be turned into a totally sweet labyrinth of love." Okay. "I am very open to suggestions in respect to the design and construction, as I'd like this fort to be a shared version, much like the Taj Mahal. It's intended that this little beauty will be inspired by a very special lady."
Wow.
So he's building this for a girl.
How does he even have a girl?
I don't know. "Once our shelter is erected, we can move in and work on some sort of our higher order needs." Does that have anything to do with the hierarchy of needs, Maslow's pyramid?
It might.
Or we could just order a pizza and tell ghost stories.
That works.
"Please email me with a picture if you want to be invited to this living room party. It will be sweet."
That will be an epic party.
"P.S. I'm allowed to have sleepovers. Location, living room." Wow.
This guy is ignorant.
The picture he has posted here, I can't even tell. It looks like he just threw like an old blanket over like a chair and a couch. And then he's got another one where he's doing the rock and roll symbol in front of it. This guy is on something.
Yeah.
In Chicago. Oh, that explains it. All right.
Epic.
Anyway. Labyrinth of love. "Its structural integrity is dubious at best." He's like,
Sean Connery.
"I'm so high, but I'm going to write this and use the word dubious because it sounds awesome."
Yeah. Such an awesome word.
"People will think I'm cool."
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, off that subject, feel free to give us a call here in the studio. We'll advertise that some more. It might end up having some political discussions for my government teacher. This is a shout out to Mr. Ross at Rocky Mountain High School. He's pretty awesome. But we might discuss some political stuff if you want to feel free to call in on that. Nice crunch.
Nice.
You can call in here at the studio. The number is 1-888-212-5545. 1-888-212-KLIK. That's weird. I just started reciting that, and it popped up in the corner of the computer. I wonder if it's listening to me. The computer is stalking me, Jensen. He doesn't know what to say. He's just sitting over there. He's got his hands up to the mic like he's getting ready to talk like this, but he's just sitting there.
Yeah.
Well done. Okay. All right. We'll get some more music going. This is Trace Atkins, and this used to be his number one hit. This is a great song. This is You're Gonna Miss This.
Radio for Fort Collins High Schools. Clickradio.org.
2 days past 18, he was waiting
for back your purse. Your credit cards are still there, but I spent the cash. Sorry. And my roommate took your tampons. I will season the pasta after I return home prior to dinner.
What the heck?
You're brighter, I'm the man in black.
Smile. 11:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Dear sir or madam, haha, you are clever. You red.
Good music.
Click radio.
I mean, good music.
.org.
No, you gotta put the THX thing on.
Right. There we go. The music was playing in the background, so it didn't work out that well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. So. Hello?
How are you?
I'm good, how are you?
That's good.
Who is this?
This is me.
Ah!
Right. Let's talk about gun laws.
Sure. Hey, I found the webcam.
Ugh. So, years ago, not years ago, but recently, Washington, D.C. had a ban on guns. Okay. Which, in my opinion, is not constitutional.
Yeah, it's right to bear arms.
Right to bear arms. It's definitely not constitutional. So somehow they got that passed the Supreme Court or something, and they got that law passed where you couldn't have guns in this in Washington, D.C. And this was a long time ago that they got this passed. They actually recently had the gun ban taken down so that you can carry in Washington, D.C. Funny thing is, while they had their gun ban, guess which city in the United States had the most deaths by shootings?
D.C.?
Washington, D.C.
Funny.
See, here's my theory on it. You ban guns, and people who are innocent aren't going to have guns to defend themselves. People who are looking to cause trouble are going to get guns. They're going to get guns, and they're going to shoot people. If that's what they're planning on doing.
Yep.
So then that person who could have defended themselves as an innocent citizen did not have something to defend themselves with.
Yeah.
That's my theory as to why.
Besides, brooms, mom, hint, hint, if you're listening.
Yeah. So that's why the gun ban does not work, and it's unconstitutional. So there you go. Let's talk about here's a good debate we were having in my government class the other day. During the Vietnam War, I think it was, the government took away certain rights from citizens. Or was this during the Cold War? I can't remember. They took away certain rights of citizens. Now, this was actually constitutional. But the debate is, should it be? Should it be constitutional for the government to take away some of your rights during a time of war?
If the need may be. For example, I know people that are really annoyed with the whole government, you know, they can monitor your calls if you decide to say, like, terrorist or
bomb
or something like that.
Call monitoring. Call monitoring, according to the Constitution, is not constitutional. Because that is in, what do you say? It's going in on someone else's rights. It's breaking in on someone else's rights. My teacher was saying, he put this a good way. Your rights are like this. You can go around, my hands just moving around randomly, for those of you that can't see this. Your rights are like this. You can just randomly go anywhere and do anything you want until, bam, your rights just hit a wall, and that's my other hand. I'm doing this just like my teacher does it. What is this wall? What is that wall?
Government.
Government, really? You think it's the government?
Sure.
What makes your rights...
someone else's rights.
...illegal? That's right. That wall is someone else's rights. So you can go any do anything you want until you've infringed on someone else's rights. So, where was I going with this in terms of taking away rights in times of war and stuff? So, the argument is, should the government take away your rights for safety? Or should you keep your rights and lose safety?
I don't know. Personally, it kind of depends. Up to a certain point, I'm pretty much for the government being able to take your rights for national security and all that. Up to a certain point. But
I know where we were. We were talking about phone monitoring.
Yeah.
The Bush administration approved phone monitoring, which is unconstitutional. So the Bush administration had gone ahead, and the Supreme Court actually said no. But they went ahead and did it anyway. So that was a big oops on Bush's part. But we won't get into, I support this president and this president, et cetera, et cetera. We'll just say that that was an oopsie on his part, and there you go. That's the truth. But phone monitoring is illegal because it's infringing on someone else's rights of privacy. So is it going on now? In my opinion, I bet it is. But that's off the record. On the record, Obama can tell us that it's not all he wants, but I bet anything it's still going on.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been down to Schriever Air Force Base in the Colorado Springs area, which is basically what's responsible for you as a listener to be hearing me right now. It's also responsible for any of your phone calls that you do, anything like that. They control all the satellites and stuff over the country and anything basically that has to do with communications. So, and I've seen some of the stuff that they have there, and I've seen some of the people working, and I know that they're monitoring calls and stuff from outside of the country. So we definitely have the ability to do that. Now, whether they're doing it here or not, I can't say, but I bet they are. Anyway, that's off the record. So, you're saying you think it should be legal to limit citizens' rights during times of war?
Up to a certain point, yes.
Okay, what would that certain point be?
That certain point would be where the person has absolutely no rights, and the government pretty much
that'd be
takes
a lot of stuff.
All power.
That'd be a lot of stuff. How many amendments are there in the Constitution? 27? I'm sorry, Mr. Ross, I should have brought my pocket constitution with me. I think it's 27. No guarantees. So, anyway, that's a lot of rights. Mainly the first 10 are mostly the important rights. That's the Bill of Rights. But the rest of them aren't all necessarily rights. But still, that's a lot. So, the ones that I think they limited during this time of war that we're talking about here, insert war, yeah, insert war name here. I'm pretty sure it was Vietnam. What? Yeah, insert war here. Right. Air raid. Yeah. Anyway, I think it was Vietnam is what we're talking about. So
yeah.
The rights that they took away, as well as with the Bush administration, was phone monitoring thing. And with Vietnam, I think it was freedom of the press. Again, no guarantees, but I think that's what we were talking about. I think it was freedom of the press. So, you take these away, and you lose your rights. But here's the other side of it. People say that we're fighting so that we can maintain these rights, right? And there was a great quote that Mr. Ross said the other day. I forgot who said it, though, and it was something along the lines of, when you've taken away our rights, we have nothing to fight for, or something like that. So, and that was one of the founding fathers or something like that said that. So, if you think about it, take away the certain rights, what are we fighting for?
Well, there's a difference between taking them away and just barely infringing on them.
Okay, so here's one of the rights that was taken away from citizens of the U.S., I think, again, during the Bush administration. Think about Gitmo. Possible terrorist suspects were taken to Gitmo. Why, do you know why they were taken to Guantanamo Bay? Why Guantanamo Bay is the area for terrorist suspects and not somewhere on U.S. soil?
Because then we don't have to abide by the laws?
Because when we take them to those locations, they do not have a right to a fair trial. So, that's kind of... I don't know. You can't really say it's unconstitutional because, again, out there, it's not U.S. But you're taking someone who is a U.S. citizen, taking them to another country, and not allowing them to have the right to a fair trial. And this could happen to anyone. It could happen to you. You could be Googling hydrogen bombs on Google one day, which I've done, and I've had a Comcast van sit outside and watch me for a while. Go figure. But if you Google things like that, and they start watching you, and they monitor your phone calls and think you're a suspect, without a fair trial, without taking you to any courts, they might send you to some place like that. Do you think that's fair?
If there's really, if there's evidence supporting that they're possible, you know.
Okay. Now I'll bring up the Timothy Masters case. Do you know the Timothy Masters case?
Yeah, he was in prison for like over 20 years because of a false accusation.
False evidence. Because of false evidence. How do you think his life is right now?
Well, he actually just got a bunch of money, didn't he?
Well, yeah. Well,
$1 million.
A lot more than that. When you go to jail for false accusation, depending on how long you're there, you can come out with a huge amount of compensation money. One of my favorite TV shows is about a Los Angeles City cop who was illegally or wrongly charged, and he came out. I think it was 17 years in jail, and he came out with $50 million from that. So they pay you good money for that. However, I don't think $50 million is even enough to pay for 17 years of your life being taken away from you.
Yeah.
17 years of living in jail. And Timothy Masters was not just in any jail. He was in a maximum security jail.
Ew.
So he's probably not living the best life, not living the life that he wanted to live, not the one that he envisioned. And it was he mainly, for a big reason, went to jail because of bias from, I think it was the current city sheriff or something of the time like that. And the sheriff was very biased about it. So the sheriff or from the time or whoever it was that was in charge that basically sent him to jail is in a lot of doo-doo right now.
I think.
Yeah. So, excuse me, one second. Ah, I dropped something. All right, so that's a big example of someone going to jail and not having the right to a fair trial. They had a trial, but it wasn't fair because it was very biased. And not only that, but it was very biased because everyone from that, in that time, including the people who went to school with him, believed he did it. And there was, we were talking about this as well today in my class. They were publishing information in the newspaper about him, and it was basically convincing people that he was guilty. So the citizens who get called up to be the jury for his trial go there with the biased information thinking he's already guilty. So we were talking about, can the government limit your freedom of press? So that you don't have that biased information coming out in the paper before a person's trial. Can they do that? Yes, they can. They can actually do that. I forgot the term that Mr. Ross used to describe it, but they can actually limit freedom of press for a certain amount of time in situations like that. I keep dropping this spring. In situations like this to prevent bias from like that happening, because if you allow someone to post that information on the newspapers or whatever, that is infringing on Timothy Masters' rights. Yeah. Exactly. So, the original question, do you think it's fair for the government to limit the rights of people during times of war? If you have an opinion that you want to share with us, if you've taken Mr. Ross's government or history classes, I'm sure you do, give us a call, 1-888-212-5545, and share us with your opinion. We're going to play a little bit more music here, so enjoy. This is Rascal Flatts. Here's to you. 888-212-5545, give us a call in the studio here and share your opinions on our topics. Our last topic that we were just talking, it's been about almost 20 minutes on the subject, was should the government limit your rights as a citizen of the United States during a time of war to protect the country? So give us a call with any opinions you have on that, and we'd be more than happy to listen to what you have to say. And myself personally, I'm not a biased person, as you might say. I am always willing to change my opinion if you can do so. And I always tell the same to my cadets. If you are one of my cadets listening out there and I tell you to do something and you think I'm wrong, well, do it properly. But if you think I've told you a wrong regulation, let me know. Maybe I'll buy you a pop if you're right.
By the way, is there a customs and courtesies manual? It's just the drill and ceremonies that's in it, right?
Customs and courtesies. I'd have to look at that. That might be 5216. Might have that in the cadet programs. Give me some time to look at that one. I've never really thought about that. So, anyway, give us a call and see what you can share with us. That'd be great. Another subject that I wanted to kind of bring up on the same related topic was the quote-unquote mosque in New York. There's a lot of people saying, you know, this is a fairly old topic, but I kind of want to relate it to what we were just talking about. There's a lot of people saying, no, don't put it there. Blah, 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 we're racist, et cetera, et cetera. No. They're saying don't put it there, and the main reason that they're saying that is because of how close it is to
Ground Zero.
You
know, there's a kid that's Muslim in our class, and he actually said that it's disrespectful that they're putting it there, and that it's putting an even worse name on their religion.
See, you know, and I was thinking about this, and 100% they have every right, according to the Constitution, that they want to put it there. So if you've ever heard anyone saying it's unconstitutional to put it there, you should know right away that that is completely false. You need to look that up for yourself and read the Constitution and understand it and know that they have that right to put it there. Now, as far as the respect thing goes, I can understand that. I can understand that. I can see why people would be upset on having a... It's really a community center, is what it really is. but having a Muslim worshipping area, Muslim worshipping place, as close it is to the World Trade Center. Now, in my opinion, I think it's far enough away it doesn't matter. I think they said it was 5 blocks away or something like that, which 5 New York blocks in downtown Manhattan is a fairly good size. So I don't think it's too much of a problem. I think I can understand why people would be upset. I can completely see that. But I think I don't really care. And what I mean by that is they can put it there and it's not going to affect my life, and I don't mind it at all. People are going to complain and complain and complain. They're going to put it up. They're going to complain some more, and then 4 years from now, no one's even going to remember. No one's going to remember it at all. It's going to be far enough away. But you also have to remember, and this is my reasoning, by one reason why I don't care other than the fact that it's so far away, is Muslims are not terrorists. End of statement. Muslims are not terrorists. If you want to go out and call any religion a terrorist religion, and I'm not going to bash my own religion, but I'm going to say Christianity is the most terroristic religion there is. People often say, oh, Muslims are going out and killing people, suicide bombing, and stuff like that. You got to think about what Christianity was doing years and years ago, and is still doing. Crusades, mass murders. You aren't Christian, we're going to murder you. And that's how it's been for centuries and centuries for Christians. And I'm not saying every Christian is like that. Just like not every Muslim is a terrorist. But I think more Christians are extremists than Muslims are terrorists. That's my opinion. Yeah, how'd that one heat you up? I know there's some people out there that are going to get really pissed off about what I just said, but that's my belief. And you can feel free to change it if you want. Prove me wrong on anything you wish. But the Japanese internment camps. We live among Asians and Japanese every day. But right after the attack on Pearl Harbor, every single one of them was put in an internment camp on U.S. soil. Did you know that? We had internment camps, just like the Nazis had for Jews, we had for Japanese on U.S. soil right after the attack on Pearl Harbor. Go figure, right?
At least that had some sense in it, though. We weren't just randomly putting them there because
we weren't just randomly killing off a race because they aren't the master race and they aren't blonde hair and blue eyed like the Nazis believed, but we were putting them there and we were violating their constitutional rights and putting them in internment camps without a free trial, basically a jail. Maybe even worse than a jail. So, yeah, our past is not as pretty as the government wants us to believe. And I'm sure we're not as pretty as the government wants us to believe right now either. Anyway, I guess no one really wants to call in and give us their opinion, but if you do, again, the number is 1-888-212-5545, and we are in the studio for the next only about 15 more minutes.
Unless the other show doesn't show up.
No, they'll be here. I was talking to one of them today at Rocky, so.
Oh. One goes to Rocky?
Mm-hmm.
Which one?
The one that showed up yesterday before everyone else. The kind of long-haired, curly hair, blonde, wears glasses. I don't know, you'll recognize him when he gets here, but yeah, he goes to Rocky. Anyway, we only got 15 more minutes here. Give us a call. We got a few more songs to play here, and then we'll be out. So this is Ronnie Millsap, and it's called Smoky Mountain Rain. Okay, those were not Mr. Manly Man, but they were still kind of funny.
Yay.
All All right, myself and Jensen are going to get off here. Our show is over. We got Rockin' Beats up next, so y'all have a good night, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Stop the podcast. Okay.